20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into a Saturday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am once again Matt Fralick on the Saturday version of the podcast. However, not only will you be getting less meteorology takes, that is all shifted back to Thursday now with Mark, Paul, and of course, Jason. But we're bringing back the Saturday squad, or I guess maybe not the Saturday squad that once was, but at least Janelle and I, and Eli will join us at one point when he's done traveling. He's got some stuff. He actually had to go check out some real estate down in Chicago that Aaron Rodgers wanted to check out for him. Must be some sort of acquisition going on there since he owns half the state at this point. But I am Matt Fralick, like I said, and I'm joined once again by my former co-host and friend of Packers content, but specifically Pack-A-Day podcast, Janelle Mackey. Janelle, what the hell's going on? How are you?
Yeah, this is really exciting. I remember when we were told we would no longer be working together, and you know, obviously very sad because we were a pairing that had been together since the very beginning of Pack-A-Day. So obviously I'll miss working with Dan, but you know, he's busy being a father now, so kudos to him and his wife. But yeah, I'm really excited that we get to be reunited, and it's going to be different because obviously I've been on Tuesdays for the last like 3 years, but you know, I'm excited to have the weekend gig now and get to be able to work with you again.
The weekend gig, I'll tell you what, it we were kind of talking right when we got in here and just catching up a little bit, like it can be kind of a pain, to be honest, logistically, especially if there's like news that comes out and you don't pre-record. But like honestly, like Friday, like you can get some good stuff come Friday news dump, and like I, you know, we'll get through the off season or whatever together, me, you, and Eli. But yeah, Fridays you make work. Tuesdays, relatively, I feel like or at least Mondays, a little bit of lower information. Sometimes you get stuff, but Saturdays have been a little bit of a silver lining, I must say, at least throughout the season. So, unfortunately, not much news to get to today. Yesterday, the team got to the Leroy Butler Hall of Fame nomination, which is fantastic, well deserved, and also Aaron Rodgers getting the MVP. Neither of those I feel like are like surprising, right? I mean, I think the MVP for me at least was like, yep, he's gonna go back to back. He had, you know, flashed the four fingers to someone at the golf tournament he was at, the Waste Management one in Phoenix. The Leroy Butler one, I was kind of on the fence about if that was gonna happen because people have been so pissed for so long and he hasn't got in. I was like, you know, eventually it's gonna happen. I feel like people a little bit more passionate than I was, but either of those surprising to you, and then any takes on them regardless?
No, neither was surprising, and I think there was a little bit of relief knowing Butler. You know, he obviously posted it before it was announced, so that kind of took off a little bit of the stress of, hey, we're going to bring the team on, so that was kind of cool, and obviously he was the first one to walk out, and yeah, just one of the best guys, and I've actually had the opportunity to talk to him before, which was awesome, and he's just one of the most genuine people I've ever talked to. Like, you wouldn't think that he has accomplished what he has the way that he just talks to you, like, a person, and just, you know, one of the most down-to-earth people and more than deserving of this honor. So it's really cool to see that. And then obviously Aaron Rodgers playing the way he did, the other nominees being Cooper Kupp and Tom Brady, and Kupp won Offensive Player of the Year. So you kind of knew, like, okay, I mean, I really didn't, you know, I didn't think that he was even going to be in the running. He got one vote, but you know, it's Tom Brady, so you never really know what's going to happen. But I'm really glad that Rodgers did come away with that fourth one, obviously only at the top with Peyton Manning, who has five. So they're the only two who have more than four MVPs. And I just love watching Rodgers play football, and especially at the high level that he does. It's fun, and it makes me love the game. And, you know, obviously things don't always turn out the way you want it to. But, I mean, what more could you ask for during the regular season from your quarterback than what he was doing at his age? So congrats to him, and congrats to Butler. Two very high accomplishments. Obviously, there were a couple other Packers who were up for a couple nominations, but didn't walk away with anything, but that doesn't discredit their work. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of positive takeaways, and it's nice to see a couple guys walk away with some hardware.
Definitely. And Leroy's a hell of a guy. I was joking with a colleague a couple weeks ago. Like, he just I'm not sure what his financial situation is, but I feel like he's just always doing something. Like, he's always at, like, yeah, like he's at a Piggly Wiggly in like Wanakee, or he's at, you know, the Festival of Foods in De Pere. Like, he's just always out and about, and it's cool that you can see him that way. It's awesome. I mean, he's pushing the brand though, right? He's got the Spirit brand he's pushing, but
yeah, he told us too, when I had reached out to him about having him on Open Book on Game On Wisconsin, he said he loves doing those smaller shows and helping people grow their brand, and he's just that kind of guy. And I mean, he's just so likable, and his personality is amazing. And so it's like, to have a guy like that off the field and also see his on-field accomplishments, it's awesome. And like you said, he's just a very personable guy. He's just out in the community doing whatever, and he loves every bit of it too. There's never a moment where there's not a smile on his face. And he's just one of those guys who, you know, you see someone like that and it instantly fills your cup a little bit, because he's just that kind of person. So yeah, I could not be happier for him. And I mean, I don't think he's stopped smiling and posting, and it's just awesome to see. So I can't wait till the actual induction in Canton.
Did you see the video he put out on Twitter at all?
Like the newest bus one, or the one from the bus?
The bus one.
Yeah, I did. And I had to rewatch it multiple times, and it was like piercing my ears. I'm like, I think he's saying what I'm hearing, but I can't tell. And there's just so much happening. And then you look at who's on the bus, and it's just, you know, and he's talking about like going to be the first one off, and it's like, okay, so this must be it. I had to listen to it multiple times and make sure I heard what I thought. So yeah. And it's just like, well, you know, I did it.
Yeah. There was a couple things I took away from that. One, I want to like commend, I feel like Leroy is just a very authentic person, right? Like some people would have, you know, a social media team or the agent or a manager like running it, but like, that's just Leroy. We've come to find out on like, since his post career, like obviously Twitter runs around when he retired, but like since he's got into it, that's just kind of how he operates, right? His tweets might not be sound as far as grammatically correct or even, you know, structured wise the way I would, maybe you or I would tweet out, but like he's just who he is, right?
Yeah.
I also got vibes from that video. There's another example I was thinking of, like where it was just it was, you know what it was? It was like the NFL honors last year with Aaron Rodgers, where he kind of mentioned in his acceptance speech, remember, when he kind of just like snuck in, like, thank you very much, this is a great year, I'm engaged, it's been a really good offseason. It was like, whoa, like, yeah. did we miss something there? So that was kind of the other vibe I took from it. And like, as far as the Rodgers thing, like super dope suit, like a corduroy suit. I mean, he's definitely dipping into his bag of the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I'd say it's okay. So your team corduroy suit.
I mean, I can't pull it off. It's pretty ridiculous. Like it's the opportunity have to present itself for me to buy one. Would I buy a tan corduroy suit? Probably not. It's not.
See, I mean, like, I thought he wore it really well. I think he did,
but like, yeah.
Work on the hair. Like, you know, obviously I'm a hair person. Yep. I think it's getting longer, so it takes a little bit more maintenance. I think that's something he'll learn. Otherwise, I think he just needs to trim it a little bit, because it's getting a little scraggly at the end. But, you know, it's something that had worked for him through the offseason. You know, maybe he could have gone with like a low man bun. That would have been maybe more acceptable. But no, the suit, I thought it was very Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't like it, but you know, that's who he is, and this is his personality. And I think the pictures looked really good in it, like maybe not so much on stage, like depending on the lighting, but no, I mean, yeah. And Eli, obviously, who couldn't be with us, had a couple positive things to say about Aaron Rodgers, which I'm sure you can assume, you know, exactly what he would say, that he's the best quarterback to ever play the game, very deserving, gonna go chase the fifth MVP next year, as well as the Super Bowl with the Packers. So that's Eli's take, I'm assuming, is what he would say. I've worked with him long enough to know. And I mean, if you just follow him, you know, those are basically, you know, that's, I'm making up these words as if he said them, but it's not uncharacteristic for him to actually say this. So I think that, it was nice. You know, I really enjoyed last night's show. I felt like for the most part, everybody won who should have won. Yeah. And that's really nice to see.
Absolutely. And I was going through, I had to read our DMs here. I was like, is she verbatim saying what Eli said? And no, you just know Eli well enough off of Open Book and recording the podcast that you know how he thought. Also, like you mentioned too, NFL honors, Aaron Jones is up for Walter Payton Man of the Year. He didn't get that. Andrew Whitworth did. Mike Vrabel won the Coach of the Year. Kind of surprising, but I think the late push and just all the injuries they went through kind of toppled over.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost make the same argument for Matt LaFleur and the Packers, though, you know, injuries and 3 years in a row now, Matt LaFleur has had a 13-win regular season. Obviously, two NFC championship games and then a number one seed this year. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted it to. But I mean, I think some people like to put the narrative that because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, that means Matt LaFleur can kind of hide behind that a little bit. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just one piece. Matt LaFleur has to work with the entirety of the team. And I think that he has been doing a very good job of that. And also it's important for him to have that relationship with Rodgers. And, you know, Rodgers doesn't run the team, but him and Matt LaFleur do have a lot of input together. And I don't want people to discredit Matt LaFleur because he has the MVP quarterback playing for him. I think it's just, it's a coach of the year nominee and an MVP quarterback working really, really well together. And that's not something that a lot of teams get. So I think that we're very blessed and thankful to have a tandem like that. And going forward, I hope we have more of the same. And then, yeah, you kind of mentioned Aaron Jones, which I tweeted about last night. Like, yeah, he didn't win the award, but there's 32 guys who are up for that award. And he's done so much for, you know, football and the community and just, you know, the football world, and especially all the things that he's gone through, and to be able to, like, just continue to do what he does and be himself and honor his family the way he does. He's just such a likable person, and the world is just better with people like him. So even though he didn't walk away with the honor, he's still one of those guys who I'm very thankful to have on this team on and off the field.
Absolutely. Like, that's super well said. Like, there's only one winner of that Walter Payton Man of the Year, but like all 32 of those guys and people that just like impact the community that have that platform as an NFL player. And unfortunately, like with Aaron Jones, like, we saw his personality more this year than we ever had, but that was kind of parlayed with the fact that his father passed away, right? And we were able to see it based off of, you know, some promos with the necklace, how they sewed that in before one of those primetime games, and just him being Walter Payton, just everything about him. Like, we kind of knew that as Packer fans, but like, it was really on a national scale this year to see that. But Matt LaFleur, like you said, I'm surprised he didn't win it. Unfortunately, like, you don't go through enough adversity probably to be able to get there over his 3 years. You know, it just hasn't been enough. But he still got the best eyebrows in the game. And Aaron, right, shouted out, Aaron shouted out Mrs. LaFleur for making those in check. So let's pivot here a little bit. You know, we're gonna have some fun Saturday podcast. What the hell are we gonna talk about for the Super Bowl? Obviously, LA Rams, Bengals should be a hell of a matchup. I'm sure everyone will be eating, drinking, doing whatever they do tomorrow. But today, we're going to kind of, you know, I'm going to try to preface this and segue this properly. You and I met, you were still in college. I was just post out of college. I think of a famous game we play in college is a version of maybe, I don't want to go down, you know, super crude. I think Josh Moser, actually former Fox guy, interviewed Mike McDaniel, the head coach down for the Dolphins. He did kill, kiss, or marry. We're going to kind of do something similar to that. There's a something very kill situation out there too, but we're going to come with our own here. It's going to be keep, goodbye, restructure, and that's just based off the Packers roster, right? So, and it's not just the current roster. It's obviously guys that are free agents, guys that are coming into a contract year or a rookie option year, or dudes that are just frankly getting paid too much damn money. That's where the restructure comes up. So we got keep, goodbye, restructure. And we're going to just shoot it from the hip, you know. I'm going to come up with a couple names. You're going to tell me what your thoughts are. I'm going to tell you what my thoughts are. I'm going to try to stump either one of us. I started really, really easy with this list. And then as I worked my way down, I definitely added 2, 3, 4 that I think are a little bit tougher. We're going to try to stick to 5, see how it goes. If we agree too much, we'll probably go to 6, 7. If we argue over 2 of them, we'll argue for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and call it a day. So first and foremost, just to get the wheels spinning here a little bit, I'm going to have to bring one of these guys up at some point, but I'm going to do it right off the bat. But I'm going to start with Adrian Amos. He's on contract through 2023. The Packers are in absolute dire straits when it comes to their salary cap. That's well known. Anyone that wants to learn more about the salary cap, don't listen to Janelle and I, because we get all of our information from Ken Ingles. Ken Ingles is the dude on Packers Twitter for the salary cap. He keeps me in check all the time, and I reference his pinned threaded tweet probably once a week, especially it'll even be more once free agency starts in a month here. But Adrian Amos, you know, 2023, will he be a cap casualty right now since they're about what, $60 million over, $45 million, whatever the hell it is? Do we think Adrian Amos needs to be cut? Do we think he needs to be restructured? Do they keep him throughout this year and into the next and see what he does? What are your thoughts with the man in the back? And that's really, he's just kind of a silent assassin back there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we didn't see his name too much. We didn't highlight him a lot this year, but I think that's just because he was locked down in his role this year. And, you know, I think last season it was the safeties who were really holding the DB group together. And this year it was a little bit more vice versa, where it's the cornerback that was the stronger of the two. So we didn't hear as much about Adrian Amos, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, Savage, he started off hot and then kind of declined a little bit, which was frustrating. So Amos really had to step it up. And for the most part, you didn't see much action in his area. And that's not a bad thing. You know, he's just holding it down. He's doing his job and shows up, does his work and goes home. And I think that's something that's really respectable about him, is just his work ethic, where he comes in here and he hasn't really shown any kind of decline or any reason that I would want him off this team. I think he's more important than people realize, because like I said, you're not hearing his name as much, but that's because you, like, usually guys like that, if you're not hearing their name, it's because their guys are covered or they're not getting beat. So I think Amos, maybe, you know, because he is through 2023, there's a possibility to restructure. I'm not sure. I don't know all the numbers for everyone's contracts, but, you know, with the way that the cap is going, there's a lot of guys who you might have to have these conversations with. And I think that Amos is a guy who you could have that conversation with about, hey, you know, we want to bring back most of the team. We want you to be a part of that. But with that comes a little bit of contract restructure, and then you can put in incentives for him. So I think that he's the kind of guy who you could offer that to, and he would be more than willing, because this team needs him for sure. So if you can't restructure him, I still think you need to keep him. But I do think that he's one of those guys who you could have that conversation with and hopefully restructure just to get that cap down a little bit. And yeah, but I, no goodbye for him for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm glad you agree, because I've heard that name floated around probably more than I like. I try not to get too emotional with these players on, you know, the pack. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that like that. And there's guys that you just kind of have, you and I have grown up with, right, through our teens, and actually mm-hmm. been more invested in this team. Where Adrian Amos was a dude when he got drafted by the Bears, and, you know, it was through this first rookie year, maybe his sophomore season, like, dude, this guy's a baller. And when they ended up basically flip-flopping him and HaHa through free agency, I was like, incredible, we got Amos. And obviously that was a huge splash year, right? But I mean, for him to walk away, for them to cut him would just be detrimental to me. I realize, like, you know, I'm looking at his contract here, and it was end loaded, right? Like, it's 11.9, basically 12 million he's going to get this year out of his $36 million deal he signed in 2019. I personally, you know, I look at the other thing I want to look at is the free agency market for those safeties. And like, Tyrann Mathieu's up there, Marcus Williams, Marcus May. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes that Anthony Harris, Keanu Neal, like, there's a bunch of guys, like, it's a pretty saturated safety market. So it would make me think that his price would drive down. Unfortunately for Adrian specifically, in his pocketbook, he's never really had that huge contract. Like, obviously that rookie deal with the Bears is very, very minimal as an undrafted or undrafted guy, I believe. But like, you look at what he signed with the Packers, like, that's just, the second deal is supposed to be a big deal, right? Like, the third one can always be the large one, but he's going to turn 30 years old once his deal is finally up in 2023. I'm fearful that someone might throw him some money if he were let go, or he knows that what his value is. So mm-hmm. based off what him knowing what his value is and where the free agency market is, I mean, essentially it's Tyrann Mathieu and everyone else. Tyrann's going to set the standard. So if it's too high and Amos thinks like, hey, you know, release me, see where I can get paid elsewhere. You obviously need to pay these other guys, Devontae's contract, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Other guys we're going to get into at this point. Maybe he looks for more of or money. The problem with Amos is, and it's also a positive, the positive is like, he doesn't talk much. The negative is like, we don't really know what this guy's personality is, right? Like, we know he's from Baltimore, Maryland. We know he's, you know, this is his second home here. He's found a good fit with two different defensive coordinators, but we don't really know his personality. So if I got to pick, like you said, it's 100% not cut him. I would hate that to happen. I think it's a potential. He's probably in the top 10 for guys they'd want to cut to save some cap. I think it's restructure. I think it's absolutely push out that $12 million and change come 2022. See if you can push it out, maybe even make him a bigger deal, maybe make it 3 years. I mean, it's going to all dictate what Tyrann gets, in my opinion, and how many more years you're going to get out of him. Like I said, like, come 2023, he's going to be 30 years old. Like, how many more years can you get out of him? Can you sign into another 4-year contract? Also, part of it, I'm not going to bring his name up, but it definitely impacts this, is Darnell Savage. Like, he's not a player we're going to discuss, but like, his fifth year options came up. I think there's a Cheesehead TV article that came out this week just about, like, will they pick that up? That's going to be huge. And I think whichever one of those happens might make me lean towards either side, whether Amos is, you know, obviously, hopefully not released, restructured, or if Darnell Savage's fifth year option is picked up, whatever the case may be, it's going to have me lean either side where they're thinking with the safeties. But please restructure him. Don't let 31 go. I love that dude in the back end. He's one of my favorite safeties in the league, and he just goes about his business, like you said. Mm-hmm. 2020, that was a super, super safety heavy team. 2021, they had injuries at the cornerback position, but the productivity for the safeties wasn't there. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave it at. The next one I'm going to bring up here, I'm going to bring him up early. You know, I think for anyone that's looked at the free agency market, or not free agency, the salary cap market for the Packers, it's like, who is on contract next year in 2022? And you look, and it doesn't take you very far down to see an absolutely astronomical number from Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. They both have super, super high contracts. Obviously, Za'Darius is set to make a lot more money next year. I think it's like $27 million, something, $22 million. Like, how are they going to pay him? Really damn good question, since they're in the red right now. It's 27.6, just to be accurate. So, and then Preston's not far behind from at 19.7. I kind of want to make this a little more challenging, because it seems like the consensus, Janelle, is Za'Darius Smith being cut. But Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, which one do you prefer to keep over the other? And I'm kind of going to pigeon you whole, and you don't get to restructure. I mean, you could restructure, I guess. But are either one of these, you're leaning more heavily towards keeping, goodbye, restructuring between the Smith brothers?
So this shouldn't be as easy of a decision as it is for me, which is really surprising. I absolutely love Za'Darius Smith. There's nothing that I hate about him. But Preston Smith has just, he proved himself this year to me, especially in the absence of Za'Darius. And, you know, he took that pay cut to be here, and I love him for that. And then he came out here, and he earned his incentives, and he just played like a monster. And it's really hard for me to want to get rid of a guy like that. You know, Za'Darius, obviously, I don't want to knock a guy for having an injury. You know, obviously, that's not on him. That's just his body's fault. But, I mean, those kinds of injuries, you don't know how they're going to affect him later on, and especially, you know, only going up in age, and especially at that position. I know he came in at the end of the season. Obviously, he was able to return, which I'm really glad that he did get to take those snaps at the end of the season. So we got to, if they are his last snaps with the Packers, we got a few good ones with him. But it's just, Preston Smith stood out so much to me this year that he, of the two, is the one that it would be harder for me to see go.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I land. I wasn't sure where you started with Za'Darius. You like Za'Darius a lot. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Preston's, I love them both. Like, I love them both too. With my whole heart. They brought such personality to this team, and Za'Darius was just such a natural leader coming in so fast. But it's just, you know, if I have to pick one or the other, it's tough, but it's Preston Smith just, he did it for me this year.
I don't disagree. And like, unfortunately, I mean, obviously this pandemic killed a lot of shit, but it really killed the press conferences in the locker room between the Smith brothers, right? Like, that was so damn fun in 2019. We never really got that the following year. I kind of have to agree with you. I mean, I hate to, you know, fall in line with you again here, but like, the big thing for me is like, I mean, Za'Darius, you can't be the second highest paid player on the team coming off a back injury. Don't really know what you're going to get out of him. Yes, it was great to see him get a sack in the final game, potentially in Lambeau Field in that playoff game. But like, dude, like, we got to cut some money at some point. And that's just like, that is just the nature of this business. Like, a back injury, you really don't know what to expect. I think deep down, this is just based off of just a gut feeling that I feel like Za'Darius was kind of more worried about his own longevity of his career. And that is absolutely in his own right to do that this year, where he missed so many games, where I feel like the Packers were like, maybe we wanted to get you back sooner. I could be completely off with that, but I feel like Za'Darius is like looking at it. It's like, hey, man, I got to be able to make as much money as I can in this league. And I don't blame any athlete to do that if you have that opportunity. Unfortunately, to be the second highest paid player behind Aaron Rodgers, and that'll change. Obviously, this this offseason progresses. Just, you can't do that. And like you said, you nailed it on the head. Like Preston Smith, 2020 Preston Smith, I was very upset with. Very, mm-hmm. very upset. He definitely didn't look in the shape that he needed to be. He absolutely regressed from the previous year. Some of it, he was put into bad situations like Mike Pettine, but that's why he was without a job. So the comeback for in 2021, Preston Smith, well, that was his year. Like he balled the hell out and deservedly so. Should he be restructured? Should he not be? I'm not sure. I mean, if I could pick between the two, I'd say Zadarius probably has to cut. In a perfect world, we restructure Preston. That might actually have to happen regardless, but I'm with you. Like, get Zadarius can walk. Let Rayshon Gary maybe step in those shoes. Tell Preston, like, hey, you are the guy. Like, we can't have, you know, we can't have this, like, on-again, off-again relationship where you're balling out the first year right. here, then you fall back. And, like, based off of a pattern, Preston, it looks like you would take a year off and try to want to line up in the slot and cover, you know, receivers one-on-one. So we can't have that in 2022. So I'm going to agree with you on that one. Let's transition back to the secondary. Here's a name that hasn't came up a ton, but when you actually look at the offseason and who are free agents, he's a name that comes up. Chandon Sullivan. He's a free agent, 25 years young. He'll be 26 years old. He made just about $2 million this last year. Any thoughts keeping saying goodbye to Chandon or I guess not restructuring, but signing to a deal? And what are your thoughts with number 39 there?
I mean, it's tough because Sullivan has obviously done a lot of really good things for this team, but he has also done things that you can find from other guys. You know, that cornerback room has become so wealthy that even a guy like him who performs well, it could still not be enough. And I think that's what's really tough is, you know, Chandon Sullivan, obviously, he's not the biggest name in that room. He is relatively consistent, but there is also times where it's like, okay, like, what are you doing out there? And, you know, it depends on who you keep in that room and who you line up where, but Sullivan, yeah, depending on the cap, like they have to make cuts in some places. And I don't know that cornerback room, there's other guys who I want to see them keep, but it also, you know, a guy who in the cornerback room that I'm sure is, you know, obviously getting a lot of attention, you know, you have the Kevin King, but those are two very different types of cornerbacks. So again, it depends on like, it depends on the schemes that they want to use them for. Like if you want to run one way, then you keep Sullivan and cut King. But if you want to go a different route and you need King for that, you know, kind of a safety net if something happens and there's injuries, which is kind of what he was used for this last year a couple times, then maybe you say goodbye to Sullivan. So it's a really interesting way to look at it because, yeah, there's just so many different types of bodies in that cornerback room. But I could see him potentially being a cap casualty and, you know, just one of those more replaceable guys. And you can explore maybe similar type of play in free agency for something a little bit cheaper, or just hope that somebody who you have on roster can step up, or, you know, don't really know a whole lot about that position in the draft or whatnot. You know, it's one of those tough things where, you know, Sullivan has done a lot of good, but unfortunately, sometimes that's not enough when it comes to the cap.
What the hell are you doing, Janelle? You're telling him to go goodbye? He's not getting resigned. Is that what you're telling me?
I think so.
Okay.
So why, are we agreeing again, or are we gonna have different perspectives here?
No. The reason I put Sullivan in here is because Kevin King, Rasul Douglas are also free agents, right? As cornerbacks. Yeah. And I feel like they get talked about so much based off of Kevin King. Oh, he got brought back for a 1-year deal. They could have signed XYZ player. Kevin King actually played pretty damn good this year.
Problem is, and I would like to, like, people who know, like, I am like one of the only Kevin King supporters out there in the Packers sphere.
Yep.
Somebody has to love him. I have claimed that title for him. So, you know, and yeah, he came back on that 1 year, you know, kind of prove it and also safety net deal. And when times of injuries, he came in and he did just fine. But because people hate Kevin King, they like to nitpick any little problem he has.
I mean, the problem is there's two things with Kevin King. One, I can, you know, obviously the unfortunate play where he didn't practice a whole entire week and then plays versus Tom Brady and just has a bad lapse of judgment on jumping a ball. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with Kevin King is his availability. Yeah. Is he's just constantly injured. Like, yep. You can't, like, your best ability is availability. Like, you can't have that. So, like, I don't think he comes back. Rasul Douglas, also a free agent. He's been talked about probably more than, I mean, he's definitely up there, because it's like he's like the Devondre Campbell. Exactly. Like, it's like you'd love to bring him back, but like, that guy should go get paid, right? Like, why would you want to? So, like, the reason I bring in Shannon Sullivan's, like, he seems like the most plausible one to bring back, because right now it's Jair, Eric Stokes, and then what the hell is the nickel corner, right? Like, ideally, in my eyes, you know, it's Joe Barry needs a certain player to play that nickelback star position, and everyone's talked about it. It's became a conversation throughout this entire week. Adrian Amos was considered at that spot at one point. Jair probably was, and even would be more so if they had two guys on the bookends to cover the one and two receivers on the outside, not the slot. You know, Chandon Sullivan, for God's sakes, in July, he was being put into that spot, and it just didn't work out. So that's why I wanted to bring Chandon up, because he's kind of the forgotten man of that free agency cornerback room. I personally, and you nailed it towards the end of what you said, there's probably better talent, not better, there's probably comparable talent out there.
Yeah.
Whether he's going to have the same camaraderie with those corners in the, you know, the 1 year under Joe Barry, maybe not. Maybe they can find a veteran that was with Joe Barry at some point, or Mike Smith, the linebacker coach, or, you know, Matt LaFleur at some point. Find a guy to bring it. I mean, maybe some of these young corners are going to be able to play. I don't know if that's going to be the case. The only reason I would say maybe bring him back is just there's that continuity. He should be a little bit cheaper. He's probably the third best one that you're going to let walk. And if and when a injury would happen again to Jair or potentially Eric Stokes, where does that leave your team at that point? But I trust Goody to be able to go out and at least snag a guy in the draft or free agency at some point.
So we kind of once again agree.
We kind of agree. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Chandon, like, let Chandon walk.
We agree and disagree in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, we have different perspectives. Because, yeah, like you said, if like Jair or Stokes get hurt, Sullivan isn't the ideal cornerback that you throw into that position.
Mm-hmm.
He's exactly. A very different type. That's where, like, you hope that, I mean, Kevin King is more, again, just like a familiarity, but he's somebody who, you know, you could lose both of them and just hope that there's free agency pickups. So, yeah, Sullivan, like, again, that's the thing is, through this game, I have no problem with any of these players. It's just, you know, business side sucks.
Okay. I tried to make this trended towards harder as we get down to it. So we'll see if that can happen. Next player, Robert Tonyan Jr. Currently,
okay,
a free
I was
kind of
wondering if you were going to throw this name out here.
Currently a free agent, coming off an ACL injury. Obviously had a monster 2020 season. I expected there to be some regression there. It looked like there was regression there as far as the touchdown totals go. He tears his knee. The Packers tight end room is thick. It's got a lot of dudes there. Dominic Daphne is also a free agent. Mercedes Lewis is getting long in the tooth. DeGuara probably has underperformed. What do they do with another great set of hair, good man bun guy? What do they do with Robert Tonyan Jr.? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is because I had a feeling you were going to mention him, but it's still just such a tough one to think about because, like you said, you know, he's coming off that ACL injury and you never know how somebody's going to perform after that. Like, we've seen a lot of athletes who have great years after injuries like this, and he seemed like, you know, none of these athletes seem like guys who aren't going to work hard to get back up to their 110% potential. But, you know, this tight end room, you look at it and you're kind of like, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen with Mercedes Lewis. Will he be back or won't he? DeGuara, there's a lot of growth that needs to happen with him. Like, there's potential, but he is still a ways away from it. Daphne, you know, just kind of one of those utility kind of guys. But, and you know, it's almost kind of like if you didn't get rid of Sternberger moments before Tonyan tears his ACL, kind of like, you just, you know, I like to play that what if game, but Tonyan is somebody who has obviously shown that he can produce with this offense, but at the same time, it's like, is that a product of like the scheme or is it him as an athlete? And that's, you know, in a contract year, when you're coming off of a significant injury, it makes it really, really tough. And you have to think about, you know, okay, who do we have? Who's going to be out there in free agency? I don't want to say, you know, cut him, but at the same time, it's like this tight end room needs to get stronger, and it's just such a big question mark. And he, you know, I love Robert Tonyan so much, but he's somebody who we might need to let walk. And I absolutely hate that, because the idea of putting a guy out there in free agency after an injury, it's like you just want them to be able to get a job. And I think he does so much well. Like, he does a lot of really good things for this team, but it's just, you know, can you really afford to play that kind of game with the money and also with the tight end room? Like, you gotta build something up with that room. Like, you gotta find your true number one tight end target, because right now there's a lot of guys who are kind of just like a 2A, 2B, kind of like, okay, we're more of a second, we're like a number two tight end, but there's no true number one. And Mercedes is probably the closest to that, but again, you know, he's up there in age and he doesn't get, you know, top tight end targets. He's just kind of, you know, he's a bigger guy, he's like that sixth lineman, he is a great locker room guy, but he's not putting up huge numbers on the field. And again, he does a lot that numbers don't tell. But I don't know, Tonyan is definitely one of those really, really difficult ones for me, where it's like, I really want, it's like, I'd love to see the gamble and see what he can do when he comes back, because I have no doubt that he's going to be a baller, but it's like, is he going to come out and produce those numbers, especially with, you know, all the pass catchers that this team has to offer? So I think that he could potentially be a cap casualty, which, again, like I said, I hate a guy coming off an injury and getting cut, but I think that he's somebody who we may have seen take his last snaps here.
I mean, it's this, honestly, I can't remember the last time I was like that, that observant of what they're going to do with the tight end room. You mentioned like Jay Sternberg. That's a great point. Like, can you imagine if like they don't like Jay? And then there was some stuff internally with Jace. Like, there was just he wasn't getting playing time. Tonyan emerged, Daphne emerged, DeGuara was drafted. It's just like, it wasn't going to work out. But can you imagine if he was still on the roster? Like, the opportunity for, you know, the opportunity for Sternberger again would just be in front of his face. I honestly don't know what the hell they're going to do. I mean,
this is the biggest question mark. I'm glad
Had my answer, and then I go on the website that we love for SpotRack. We love for the contracts. Everyone uses it. It's the best website ever. Like, fair market value, the stand for Tonyan right now is like $10.8 million. I don't know what that, you know, I don't know what sort of algorithm or accounting metric they're using, but I don't know if they're accounting like, hey, maybe Tonyan really, really likes getting Aaron Rodgers to throw him the ball. Hey, are they accounting the fact that he is coming off the ACL injury? More than likely, he won't be to 100% until the following 2023 year. I doubt those things are factored in this. You know, maybe I'm not giving SpotRec enough credit, but I just don't think that's the case. I think right now, today, when we sit here in February, I think that he does come back on a super, super team-friendly deal, because I think he understands that, like, my best opportunity is probably with Aaron Rodgers. But I think something that's super important to observe is what they do with the pass catchers in general. Like, do they bring in a complimentary receiver if and when Devontae gets franchise re-signed?
That's the thing, is you look at here, like, we have receivers who are also up for con. So, yeah, it all depends on everybody else. And I hope you're right where he comes back on that friendly deal, because he's like that, he's that kind of person with this team, but gotta make cuts someplace, and it worries me that he might be one of them. But
yeah, no, it's and like, the thing is too, like, because like I said, Daphne's gone, DeGuara hasn't been that great. Like, I just feel like you need a guy to like to stabilize that room, because Matt LaFleur has from day one been like, we're just gonna have a ton of tight ends, right? And like, let's not omit Tyler Davis. He had a decent run at the end of the year, good blocker, I think he graded out well. But who knows what you're going to get from him. So this is one of the positions overall, and especially Tonyan, just with that injury, it's so tough to pinpoint what the hell is going to happen with him.
Well, the Packers are the team that, like, every 2 years they get a new tight end group. You know, they don't hang on to tight ends for very long. Mm-mm, now that I'm kind of thinking about it, like, you think of the past, like, maybe 7 seasons, and you think about all the different names of tight ends who have filtered through here. But yeah, I do hope that you're right, because I'm trying to think, I can't remember the exact time frame of Tunyon's injury, but you probably won't have him.
Week five, week six, if I had to guess.
You most likely won't have him for a third of your season. So that's also something to take into consideration. Like, do you want to give him the money even though you won't be able to utilize him? It's just, it's a really unfortunate. There's no good time for an injury, but there's no worse time than when money's on the line.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say right now, I'll say bring him back. Resign him, keep him, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, keep him, just based off of the need continuity. You mentioned a good point, though. I was kind of going, looking from it, from the forward, you know, like, what's the future look like based off of Nathaniel Hackett's gone, Matt LaFleur, the way he's operated, but I like the way you use history to, you know, tell your story a little bit better. Jared Cook, Martellus Bryant, obviously they did draft JerMichael Finley at one point, but guys that were only
Lance
on the team.
Kendricks, Richard Lance Rogers.
There you go. There you go. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's just like guys that like here and gone. And like, I mean, we don't have a ton to tell off of Matt LaFleur other than the fact that he found something in Tunney, or Goody found something in Tunney, and he selected DeGuara in the third round. And Lord only knows what that plays up from there, but his progression will impact
it. You hope that if Tunney doesn't come back, DeGuara has a huge step
has
up. And maybe, absolutely maybe he needs just, you know, the opportunity to fulfill that number one role. So maybe he has that, what, third year bump, and you can, fingers crossed that that's the case, because either way, you won't have Tunyon for the beginning of the season.
Absolutely. That's all the players I have right now, Janelle. As we wrap up here, is there any player, I mean, this is totally throwing you on the spot, anyone that you think they should restructure, keep, say goodbye to, anyone you're super, super passionate about that they should bring back or cut, or...
I'm going to bring up one, I only because I've seen this thrown around, and I don't know if it's more so as a joke, but Corey Bohorquez.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's really interesting
too,
because, you know, obviously punter for a year has shown a lot, but it's like, do you gamble and lose your punter, or do you bring him back? But, you know, like, what kind, like, I'm not a money person. It's just something, it's one of those interesting ones that I have seen floating around. But, you know, especially, you know, you have a new special teams coordinator. So, you know, obviously there were some, Bohorquez kind of showed a little bit of a decline, but the entire special teams did. So I think he's a name that I'm kind of like, how much better can it get? Because I feel like the punting position, he was one of the better ones. So I don't know if you have a strong opinion about whether you bring him back or not, or if you gamble in free agency, or
no. I think that's a great player to bring up, honestly. That's a excellent one, because I think anyone in the special team could be on the chopping block. I think Bohorquez is super, super solid. I when they traded for him at the end of, you know, August, I was like, yeah, this guy might work out, and he exceeded my expectations. I think
our bar was so low, though, which
I do too. But I think the biggest thing, like you're saying, is like, you're bringing in Bisaccia, right? And like, I wish I would have done a little bit more to know that we're going to end up talking about punters at the end of this, but like, how does Bisaccia roll? Does he usually ride with the same guy? I mean, he's been doing special teams for longer than you and I have been alive. Like, he's literally a special teams ace, and I'm interested to see what he believes in Corey and that entire room. I mean, hopefully the chemistry there is good with him and Mason and whoever's going to end up long snapping and etc. in the scheme. But, you know, it's awesome that Bisaccia is coming there. I couldn't be more ecstatic for a guy where we're going to hear in some introductory press conferences and just like off-season stuff. And I think it's going to be great, but who knows? I mean, anyone that comes in from any profession, and I try to relate, you know, football and athletics as much as like the real world, is like, you come in and like, you're brand new to an organization or you know, a company or business, and you want to put your stamp on something, and maybe getting rid of Mason Crosby and Corey Bohorquez is exactly what Coach Bisaccia needs to do. I would hope not. Bohorquez is a good name to throw out there.
Yeah, I did unintentionally kind of segue us into really the only news that I did see today in regards to the Packers from Field Yates. So he said, per a source, the Packers are hiring Byron Storer, I hope I said that right, as their assistant special teams coach, who he has worked in the same role for the past 4 years in Las Vegas and would be reunited with. I don't even think I've been saying his name right. I've been saying it Bisaccia.
Yeah. That sounds
okay,
good.
Is that it? Yeah. So he'd be reunited with him, and Storer was also college teammates with Aaron Rodgers at Cal.
No shit.
Yeah. That's really weird to think that, like, a coach and, like, a player that he could potentially be working with, you know, were teammates at one point. But, yeah, that's I unintentionally segued us into the only news of today as we record this on Friday.
No, that was fantastic because I missed that. I actually don't have Twitter up on my 12 tabs right now. It's all spot rec stuff in our recording, but I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, the fact that he worked with Bisaccia is excellent. Obviously, there's mm-hmm. some continuity there. I think he was a special teamer throughout his short career down in Tampa Bay. The fact that even the nugget that he like played on the same team as Aaron Rodgers. So I'm sure, you know, obviously someone else other than us knows about that at this point. They'll be bringing that up. But right. you know what's most important to Janelle? He was a fullback. Like that's the best
Shut
thing
up.
About, yeah, it's the best thing Your about Byron brand. Yep, that's right into my brand. That's exactly what you want, a versatile dude. And that's what you're gonna get from the Saturday crew. Very versatile squad, Janelle. So as we wrap up here, Janelle, obviously Eli couldn't make it, but obviously check out all of Eli's stuff and all of his great videos on Twitter. Eli, check him out there. Obviously, anything on Game on Wisconsin he puts out is excellent as well. Janelle, it's been a minute. Catch me up on what you're doing. What's going on besides mentoring the youth and talking about Packers and athletics all the time?
Oh, yeah. So obviously you can find all my work at BigMac_4 on Twitter. I do have my link tree in the bio for easier access to all my work. I'm going to have to get used to saying every Saturday now here on Packaday Podcast. And yes, I've been promoted to every week instead of every other week. So again, have to get used to saying that also. You can also catch me over on Game On Wisconsin on Open Book every Wednesday night at 8:45 p.m. Central with Zach and Eli. We'll hopefully be putting out some articles on Packer Report throughout the off season. And then just lots and lots of hockey right now. Especially go check out the women's Olympic team because I absolutely love them.
How's the NHL right now? I'm very out of touch. What do we got? What's going on?
Wild are going to win the cup. So
is that real or is that
this
just
is actually
fandom?
A realistic expectation we okay. can have this year. So, you know, I said it when the Packers lost out the first round. Usually the Wild are my first round exit. So maybe this is the year that things switch up for me. You know, they get past the first round because the Packers lost their first game. So fingers crossed. But yeah, NHL, they just are coming off their NHL All-Star weekend, which was also in Vegas where the Pro Bowl was being held. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, yeah, Olympic hockey. I love those girls so much. And women's hockey is just, it's the same but different because mm-hmm. there's different dynamics to it. And this team, I love watching a lot of these girls. You know, there's new ones, but many returners from that 2018 gold team. Kendall Coyne Schofield is my all-time favorite female athlete, and I don't even have to see her number. She's the fastest female skater I've ever seen. It's kind of like McDavid. Like, you just know mm-hmm. who's out mm-hmm. there on the ice. So I don't have Dan to talk hockey anymore, so I'm getting it in now. But, yeah, if you're into Winter Olympics, definitely, definitely, definitely check them out, especially because they will hopefully be meeting up with Canada for a gold medal soon.
That was my final question. Is yep. just 100% a crash course Canada USA, and you already answered the question because I think that is absolutely what it's going to be. Hopefully USA can pull it out.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I don't ever tweet about hockey, and the most information I ever got from hockey was Packaday recordings with you and Dan. Otherwise, now it'll just be you, and hopefully Eli can at least teach me something along the way. I doubt that'll happen, but you can find me on Twitter still at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Right now, still helping the boys out and gals out from Game On Wisconsin, putting out content with them. We took a pause to the final dump until this off season. Let that run through. Hopefully, who knows what the storylines will look like when Brendan and I get back in front of the mics end of July, early August. Haven't really determined. Who knows? But other than that, check out everyone on Packaday Podcast throughout this off season. Obviously, the Super Bowl is tomorrow. We hope everyone has a great time doing that, whatever your plans are. If there's anyone you disagree with on those four players, or I guess four and a half players, Janelle and I mentioned, between the Smith brothers, Adrian Amos, Chandon Sullivan, Robert Tonyan, tweet at us, DM us, mention us in the comments of this tweet on Packaday Podcast on Twitter. We'd love to hear your comments or any other players you want our opinions on, because there's going to be a ton of players. It's not just the guys in the active roster right now. It's all the other players on the peripheral, guys that could be re-signed and everything else. So make sure you check us out there on Packaday Podcast on Twitter. And of course, if you're not subscribed and you've been listening to us for the last, I don't know, since Janelle and I first ever recorded in Lambeau Field, if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, you're losing. Make sure to rate, review us, and send this podcast to all your family and friends. And of course, always ask Alexa to play Pack a Day Podcast. But for Janelle Mackey, and as Eli is checking out real estate for his best friend Aaron Rodgers in Chicago, I am Matt Fralick. You guys stay well, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.